I'm Jim Rome, live in Southern California. We are joined right now by the head basketball coach at Arkansas. Second season with the Razorbacks. Led Arkansas to 20 wins in his first season. Only first-year head coach in a power conference to win 20 games last year. He entered the season with the ninth-best winning percentage among D1 head coaches. Arkansas out 2-0 this season. UTA at Arkansas tomorrow night. Not only a longtime friend of the program and me personally, as I think about this, as I go back to the very start of my career, I would say I probably do not have a longer standing relationship with anybody in the business than this guy. We literally came up together in our early 20s. One of the first guys I ever interviewed when I first got my radio program, and we're still doing it. I am joined right now by Eric Musselman. Mus, before we talk basketball, man, how are you? How's Danielle? How's Mariah? How are the boys? How's the fam?
Jim, thanks so much for having me on back in the jungle. Everybody's doing good. We're, Michael's on staff now, and Matthew's a sophomore at the University of San Diego. Mariah's doing good. Family's awesome. I hope yours is doing great as well.
Mus, mine's doing great. I appreciate that. Your energy is tremendous. Man, for so long, Mus, you and I talked about what it was like to work with your dad, Bill. So now you've got your own son on your staff. What's that been like?
You know, it's an interesting dynamic. Because, I know certainly with my dad, it was funny. When he got the job with the Timberwolves, I kept calling him as it got closer to training camp because I was coaching in, I was actually a general manager in Rapid City of the old CBA league. And I kept saying, Dad, camp's 3 weeks away. Dad, camp's 2 weeks away, thinking he was going to hire me. And finally he said, why do you keep asking me? Yeah, we're 3 days away. What's the big deal? I said, well, aren't you going to hire me as an assistant? He said, no. You got to pay your dues and you got to be a coach somewhere else before you join me. So Michael's, he's director of recruiting and he's not on the coaching staff, but he has a huge impact every day with me, whether it's watching film or helping organize how we're going about our recruiting planning and the vision that we look 2 to 3 years into the future from a recruiting standpoint.
Eric Musselman joining us. Eric, there's so much I want to talk to you about with your team, but one more thought about Michael. Like, did he always want to be in the business? Did you encourage it? Did you discourage it? How did you approach that with him?
Yeah, it's interesting because I still can hear my mom. You know, when I went to San Diego, the University of San Diego, I told her I was going to go to law school and be a lawyer, and it was just to kind of get her off my back because she really did not want me to coach at all. But my father was my idol, my best friend. I wanted to do what he did, but I think from a mom's perspective, she understands how brutal the business is. And, I wasn't sure. Michael was a really good athlete, played on a state championship team in California at Monta Vista. And I wasn't sure what he would do, but he did. He joined us at Nevada after his 4 years at San Diego and was a grad assistant. And he's really good on the floor when he was a GA at Nevada. So at that point was the first time that I thought, hey, he's definitely going to get into coaching. Originally, I thought maybe it would be on the management side, maybe work his way up through the NBA video room. But I'll tell you what, there's nothing better, especially if you've been through a divorce and you're not taking your sons to school every day. There's nothing better than walking into the office and saying, good morning, son. And then in the heat of the battle of games, to be able to look at him, is something, just lost time when he was younger. We're making up for it now.
That's actually awesome. That's beautiful. Eric Musselman joining us. Mus, you mentioned like what it was like what your mother was saying. And when you were in San Diego, I can remember you and I going to the Castry Bar and Grill, having salads in Pacific Beach back in the day. I'm thinking back to the days also when you began your NBA career as an assistant coach. Like when you're putting together a roster right now, wherever you are, how much of that goes back? And I remember you and I having long conversations when you worked with the Orlando Magic and you were around guys like John Gabriel and Chuck Daly and Doc Rivers. How much of what you do right now in assembling a roster is what you learned from them back then?
Everything. It was interesting because I was part, JR, I was part of the planning with John Gabriel, and it was a two-and-a-half-year planning process of they were trying to, clear as much cap space as they possibly could to land Tim Duncan and Grant Hill. So the initial planning on what restaurants, we were going to go to and so on and so forth. I was with Gabe through that planning process. But everything that we do here, because there's so much recruiting that goes on at the NBA level, especially with the free agency part of the whole thing. Even our Gilbert Arenas had a great year after year one coaching the Warriors, and that was an entire recruiting process to put together to try to keep him from going somewhere else. So I think that we've taken a lot of that stuff, even our terminology in our recruiting room when we start having meetings. It's, is this player in the college game, is this player a future lottery pick for us? Is he a late first rounder? Is he a second rounder? Is he maybe a two-way player? That's kind of how we label our players internally that we're recruiting, rather than say, is he a one-star, two-star? Is this guy a five-star? We have our own verbiage based on, you know, my time at the NBA, and I'm a little bit more comfortable, and our staff has so many NBA people on staff. Corey Williams played for the Chicago Bulls when they won the championship with Michael Jordan, and Clay Mosier was with the Lakers for the last seven years before joining us last year. David Patrick was a scout with the Houston Rockets, and so our staff, and Earl Boykins, who played for me with the Warriors, so we're all comfortable, Jim, with that type of terminology.
Eric Musselman is joining us. You know, Mush, you've always been one of those guys, like, I've never talked to a coach who didn't talk about process, but you've always had a process and a methodology. You've always had that grind. You've always had that work ethic. I always thought you had an extremely high basketball IQ, but you're somebody who's been really flexible, and you've adapted to everything and the way the world has changed, the way the game has changed. I'm really curious, though, the way you approach this, like you mentioned, divorce, whether it's personal or professional, you've had to kind of reinvent yourself like a lot of coaches, but every few years, like, there's always a new challenge. There's a new program. There's a move. There's a new state. There's pro basketball. There's college basketball. How have you gone about approaching that reinvention every few years?
Well, it's interesting. You know, like, I knew I wanted to get into the pro game, the NBA game, and then, you know, went the assistant route, obviously, and then got two opportunities as a head coach at the NBA level. And I didn't think, Jim, that it would be very easy to get a third crack at it. So I wanted to reinvent or recreate my career, however you want to word it. And I wanted to do the college game, and kind of in between going from the NBA, to college, instead of going back as an NBA assistant, because I had a great opportunity with Flip Saunders, who had played for my dad and was actually part owner of the T-Wolves, and a guy that I had emulated growing up. When I didn't go join Flip as an assistant, you know, the college game was a new challenge. It was different. I had done two national teams, Dominican Republic and Venezuela. And so, you know, your juices get going when you have a new opportunity and a new challenge. And so there's not many people that have coached at the pro level, coached overseas, you know, coached at the NBA level, coached at the D-League level. So I love new challenges, and in a great spot here at Arkansas for sure.
Arkansas head basketball coach Eric Musselman joining me for a few more moments. So, Mus, last season you had four scholarship players over 6'5", none over 6'8". This year you've got a lot more height. As you've said, the team's going to look a lot different getting off the bus. How much different is that going to make you on the court?
Well, we're a lot different. You know, we're a deeper team. You know, last year I let two guys pretty much, you know, freestyle, Mason Jones and Isaiah Joe. One was drafted by Philly and Isaiah Joe, and then Mason Jones has signed a contract with the Houston Rockets. And really, we were undersized. We were horrific on the backboards. And we knew that the only way we could survive was take away our opponent's three-point shot from a philosophical standpoint. We led the nation in defending the three. This year, we're bigger. You know, Connor Vanover, a 7'3" transfer from the Cal Bears, he had six blocks the other night. We probably didn't have six blocks the whole year last year. So we are a different team, but we're still evolving in a lot of ways as well. Last year, when you have a smaller rotation, Jim, it's really interesting. When you have a small rotation, it's really easy to quickly form roles. When you have more depth, it becomes much more challenging to try to figure out roles. And I also think it's more difficult for the individual players when you have a deeper team. You can get subbed out of games quicker, so on and so forth. So there's a lot of things that go into having more on your roster that maybe you don't, you know, the public doesn't really understand.
Eric Musselman joining me. Must something else, you've been breaking out shirts and masks for different teams in different sports this year. Like one day it'll be the Steelers, another day it's the Orlando Magic, another day it's the Birmingham Rumble Ponies. What's your process behind that? How much fun are you having with that?
You know, obviously if you're a head coach in the NBA, you're not going to do that. And I got my wife, she kind of self-checks me every day. Like, are you serious? You're walking out of here in a New England Patriots shirt and mask today. But the bottom line on this thing, in our world, social media is so powerful. And I'm not worried about connecting with a, you know, 55-year-old NBA GM. I'm worried about connecting with a 17-year-old high school player. And I'm trying to figure out, like, what conversation pieces can I have? And so a lot of our social media stuff is based on solely on how do we connect? How are we different? And it started off really just, you know, with the pandemic, like how do we encourage, you know, people to wear masks and then, you know, have a little bit of fun with it. And, you know, it started off one or two teams would send something and that now – almost every day when the mail comes to our office, we're like, all right, what, you know, who's it going to be? And we've had some fun with it because there's been a lot of stuff that have been shipped to us that we never even reached out to certain, you know, programs or organizations.
Hey, Mus, one last thing you mentioned, Danielle. I want to ask you, like, Seth Greenberg and I would talk about this. His wife, Karen, obviously was so important to what he did and the program and the way she connected with the players and how much she was a factor in what he did. Like, she loved it. I know Karen missed it when Seth has gone on. He's become a brilliant broadcaster. What about Danielle? How important is she to what you do and the team, and how much does she enjoy it? Because she also had a really successful career herself.
No, she's a huge part of our – number one, she's a huge part of our recruiting. You know, when we have recruits and their parents over to our house, she's way more valuable than I am. And even to our current team, because of her experience, you know, working for NFL Network on air, working for ESPN on air, you know, she is able to watch one of our players do an interview post-game and then send them a text and say, hey – you got 5 minutes where we can talk, you know, and she can give some helpful hints on, you know, how to conduct an interview. And that's really important for student athletes that are young and aspire to have a camera or a microphone in front of their face and want to play beyond, you know, college. So she's really instrumental in a lot of different areas. And, you know, after the game, she's able to, you know, see a parent who maybe the player didn't play as much and say, hey, you know, we still love him and, you know, we still believe in him and so on and so forth. So, and she's brilliant with, you know, with helping me with social media stuff as well.
Good stuff. Head basketball coach at Arkansas in his second season there, coming off that 20-win season. Arkansas is 2-0. UTA is at Arkansas tomorrow night. Good friend of mine, Eric Musselman. Mus, great to hear your voice. Great to hear you back on the program, as always. Good luck with it. Glad we could get caught up.
JR, it's awesome catching up. Thanks for having me in the jungle. It's the best. Thank you so much.
EP Mus, you are the best. Eric Musselman. And when he mentioned that he was the GM of the Rapid City Thrillers, he was when he was 23. That's when we met, when we were both 23. So hope you enjoyed that conversation as much as I did.